Please the court. My name is Chris Gordon, attorney number 42569. I'm representing the employer, or the employee in this case, Mr. Mark Orris, who is the appellant. There are two reasons why the appeals office reversal should itself be reversed. The first is a bigger picture problem that the appeals office failed to treat the question of compensability as a factual one, and accordingly failed to apply proper deference to the ALJ's factual findings on the subject. The second problem is with the application of law governing horseplay. It has, in explaining its reversal, the appeals office created a problematic required finding that the ALJ supposedly should have had to find in order to make a determination of horseplay. By pointing out that finding was absent but nonetheless required, and then by reversing anyway without a remand, the appeals office has stepped into the fact-finding shoes of the ALJ and created something that will be difficult to follow in future cases regarding horseplay, where there is an injured worker under that umbrella of horseplay.
Does that problem go away if we simply vacate and direct the panel to remand to the ALJ to make a finding on that issue?
We submit yes, Your Honor. The standard for horseplay in Maurice Family Dining will continue to be good law, and if the decision of the appeals office is vacated, there will be no future problems with this need.
But if we vacated and remanded for further findings, what exactly are the question or questions that would be appropriate for further findings?
Your Honor, we submit that those findings are not required, but if this court sees it differently, the appeals office stated that that the ALJ did not, and this is in the record at page 504, the appeals office basically stated that the ALJ did not find that the employee's exploratory or proactive job duties did not include jumping from one rooftop to another rooftop. And they said, similarly, while the ALJ found that there were times when it was necessary for an employee in this instance to be on the roofs, he made no finding that this was an appropriate time to be on the roof. So the reason why this is an inappropriate reading of the horseplay requirements in the first instance is that the horseplay comes into effect, or it becomes a question, when you have an employee who may or may not have been acting within the specific job description outline. He may have been doing an activity that may only be slightly related or unrelated, or in some level related, and it's a question for the fact finder to determine whether or not there's a significant relation, a substantial enough relationship between these horseplay-ish activities and the job description. The appeals office here is essentially saying, in order for that to work, you have to find that he was doing something specifically outlined in his job description. Well, that's the whole point of the question, is that we're admitting that there may be some question as to whether that was part of his job description. So a required finding that he'd be doing something specifically described in his job is nonsensical, that we would submit. So it's an
okay. Did the ALJ make a specific finding that there was a substantial nexus between jumping off the roof and whatever was in Mr. Ortiz's job description?
Beg your pardon, Your Honor. It is Ortiz. And what the ALJ found was that the claimant's actions did not arise to the level of horseplay. And that's on page 428 in the record. It found that his actions did not constitute a deviation from his assigned work duties, but were actions that arose directly out of and occurred in the course of the claimant's assigned duties. So the ALJ really didn't take that approach that the appeals office is implying is needed. The ALJ simply found he was doing something in the course and scope of his employment.
Thank you. Pardon me, counsel, if I may, please.
Yes, sir.
Is what happened here on the panel level, did the panel basically conclude that this was outside the scope of employment and horseplay as a matter of law, this one fact of jumping off the roof? Is that what they did?
That appears to be what they did, Your Honor. And we submit that is clearly a failure to give deference to the ALJ's findings of fact, who is the appropriate person to be doing so, to weigh the evidence and to line that all up. And the argument that the employer in this instance made was that the findings of fact do not support the order. Well, the order here is to begin paying benefits. One of the findings of fact is whether or not the employee was involved in an activity that was during the course and scope of and arising out of his employment. The ALJ so found. The employer did not argue that the findings of fact were not supported by the evidence, although I concede that both Mr. Orris and the employer in our briefs did get into a bit of a battle over whether there was evidence in the record and substantial evidence in the record to support the findings. But the fact of the matter is the finding was there. The finding is this is a compensable injury. He was involved in something that was not force play to take him out of the umbrella of the compensability.
But counsel, aren't those actually legal conclusions? I mean, no one's really disputing, as I understand, the factual basis. They're disputing whether the ALJ's legal conclusion or the panel's legal conclusion on compensability is accurate.
No, I understand the question, Your Honor, and I believe that something on my phone is making the microphone buzz. I'm going to go and grab my phone back. Pardon me. I thought I had it in airplane mode. I apologize. Judge Dunn, the question that you have is whether or not the compensability is a legal conclusion or is it a finding of fact?
Correct. It's a legal conclusion based on the undisputed facts.
That's kind of the hair that needs to be split in this case, Your Honor. And we submit that to the extent that it is based on factual findings of course and scope and arising out of, whether or not the ALJ cites each and every bit of evidence he considered doesn't change the fact that it is a finding of fact that the employee was or was not engaged in activities that arise out of or in the course and scope of his employment. If we needed to have a conversation about the sufficiency of the evidence, that would be a slightly different conversation than we're having. But we submit that it is a factual question. Essentially, then, the employer and the appeals office, in their writings, ran a tally more or less of those factual findings that were supportive of a conclusion or a finding of compensability, and those that weren't, and ultimately decided that they liked the idea better that it was not a compensable injury. Again, that's inappropriate for the reviewing board to be able to make a judgment call on the sufficiency or the weight of those findings, and come to their own conclusion. That's clearly stepping into the fact finding issues of the ALJ without necessarily a dispute in the evidence or a dispute, to Judge Jones' point, in the findings themselves or in the facts of the case themselves.
What evidence is there in the record that would show a substantial nexus between the claimant's duties and jumping from one roof to another, as opposed to being out on the roof in the first place?
So, if I understand Your Honor's question, the focus then is what were the findings that supported the act of jumping or the act of dropping from one rooftop to the other?
Yeah.
Okay. The ALJ pointed to certain, the record at 427, loosely beginning on 426, lists certain facts as they relate to the event. The fact that the safety handbook provided by the employer urged employees to understand site-specific hazards,
Well, let me try and make it more specific.
Sure, Your Honor.
I could see the argument that there was a connection between his duties and being out on the roof. If he was out on the roof and stumbled and fell down to the lower level, I mean, I could even see that. But I'm trying to maybe make a finer point than you're accustomed to. But what is there that suggests it was within his duties to jump from one roof to another and essentially go down 10 feet to a hard landing in that process. So just focus on the jumping, please.
In the ALJ's finding of facts, he chose not to articulate certain things that came out in evidence. And I don't know if it's because...
Well, tell me what's in the evidence. I can read the findings.
Certainly. The employee testified credibly that he was attempting to understand ingress and egress from potential intruders or potential police situations. He was attempting to just gain a familiarity such that were he called upon in an emergency situation to be involved in an ingress or egress from the rooftop, that he would know ahead of time how to handle it, because he would be the primary person there guiding law enforcement personnel or emergency personnel in that type of situation. So,
and that's how he explained jumping down to the lower roof.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Correct. That's in the transcript, and it wasn't, as he was the only witness to those events, there was no real dispute at hearing.
Thank you.
Your Honors, with the time that's remaining, I'd like to reserve it if there's any need for rebuttal or further questions afterward, unless Your Honors have questions at this point.
I would follow up just on one question on Judge Webb's comment.
Yes,
and that is, as I understand the evidence, there was no testimony or evidence that there was direct access from the hospital to the cancer center roofs. Is that correct?
There was a discussion as to a skylight on the second lower level where the claimant initially injured himself. And at that point, I believe it was not clear whether there was access from the interior of the building or not.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Your Honors, we do ask that you reverse the appeals office's reversal to vacate that order and reinstate the ALJ's order on the subject. Thank you.
Good afternoon, may it please the court. My name is Elena McKenna. I represent respondent appellees in this matter. We also have Trisha Leahy from the Attorney General's office here on behalf of the Industrial Claims Appeals Office. She is available to answer any questions should you have them for her. Otherwise, we are deferring to respondent employer to address this argument. Counsel in this matter, in his opening brief and in his argument, is essentially arguing the wrong standard of review here. Under 843.301H, the panel is permitted to review, set aside, or remand or correct an order for various reasons, including the findings of fact do not support the order. What counsel is arguing is essentially the substantial findings of fact or substantial evidence support the findings of fact here. That is not what is at issue. Nobody is disputing that the findings of fact are what they are. In fact, they remain undisputed.
So are you conceding that the record supports the findings that were made?
Yes, Your Honor. The panel found, and I'm sure you've had the opportunity to review the order, that just based on the findings of fact, as they stand, undisputed, that they compel the necessary conclusion that the claimant was not in a course and scope of employment, and in fact, he deviated from his employment substantially and was engaged in horseplay, and therefore the claim cannot be found to be compensable. The findings themselves, if you look at paragraph number 15, the ALJ found that the claimant's employment duties specifically do not include jumping off a roof, jumping from roof to roof, jumping off a ledge. That finding of fact alone supports the ALJ's or the panel's reversal of the ALJ's order.
Well, isn't the test more subtle than that, though, whether there's, I mean, you know, if the test for horseplay were a bright line that it's part of your job duties, we'd never have these cases. So isn't there a more subtle distinction there in terms of whether there is some nexus between the black and white duties in the job description and the activity that may or may not have been horseplay?
Yes, Your Honor, there's always a gray area, especially in the workers' compensation analysis, of whether an individual's in the course and scope of employment. The record as it stands and the findings of fact, however, do not support a finding that claimant was not engaged in horseplay. The findings of fact, if you look at the four-part test under the horseplay standard, in fact, support the finding that claimant was engaged in non-compensable horseplay. The finding that he was not jumping from the roof is not an employment duty supports the finding that, or the determination under the horseplay standard.
Well, isn't that just another way of saying it isn't in his job description?
The job description plus the testimony of all the witnesses that are undisputed by presented by respondents that are listed in the findings of fact basically lay out that his job duties on a general basis, that it's clear logical reasoning that nobody's supposed to jump off the roof. He's not even supposed to be on the roof according to the testimony and the findings of fact, unless he was given access to repairmen. There was evidence in the findings of fact established that he was not on the roof getting access to any repairmen.
Was there a finding that it was not part of his job to be on the roof unless he's escorting a repairman?
The findings of fact do state that for access to the roof, he had keys for access to the roof to allow repairmen on the roof. That was a finding of fact. Yes, Your Honor.
Well, isn't there also a finding of fact that his supervisor gave him these keys and said, go explore?
Part of his duties was to be proactive and explore the grounds and the facility, you know, to become familiar with them. So, yes, the question is, does jumping off the roof constitute a proactive element of his job duties? And respondents assert that based on the findings of fact as they stand, specifically number 15, where the judge finds, you know, that is not part of employment duties, there's no establishment through the evidence or the ALJ's findings that there is a nexus between jumping off the roof and his employment duties or his job description, that the findings of fact therefore do not support the order of compensability.
Why couldn't we resolve this by vacating the panel's decision and remanding with direction that the ALJ be told to make a finding as to whether or not jumping off the roof bore a reasonable nexus to the other duties?
Under 841.3 or 43.3018, there's no requirement for a remand here. The findings are undisputed. Both parties in this appeal did not dispute the findings as they stand. And under the Schreiber versus Brown and Root case, if the findings are undisputed, and the findings of fact as they are here, and there is but one reasonable inference that can be drawn, then the issue becomes one of law, which can be resolved by the panel through its own conclusion, irrespective of the ALJ's conclusion. And the panel clearly felt that this was such a case. It cited the Schreiber case in its order. The respondents assert here that this is the type of case specifically addressed through the Schreiber case, and that the findings are undisputed and as they stand, any reasonable mind can draw from the inferences here that his job duties do not require him to jump off a roof.
So I'm going to ask you the same question, if I may, that I asked your opponent, which is, did the panel basically find that as a matter of law, the fact of jumping off the roof was horseplay that placed that conduct outside the scope of his employment?
That is exactly what they found.
Okay, but in that finding, did they apply the right test? Because you keep responding to all of our questions, or I guess all of mine, by saying jumping off the roof wasn't a job duty. I'm sure it wasn't. But isn't the test whether jumping off the roof bears the requisite nexus to what are his job duties?
Well, in the horseplay test, there's, you know, four different elements to go through. And through the ALJ's order and the panel's order, it's difficult to ascertain, you know, how they ran through the analysis. They don't specifically run through the four factors in their written order. But the extent and seriousness of the deviation, which is the first element of the horseplay test, was essentially addressed by the panel in addressing whether this jumping off the roof was part of his job duty, saying, yes, he substantially deviated from the course and scope of employment because jumping off the roof was not part of his job duties. There was no evidence in the record that he was trained ever to jump off the roof, that, you know, specifically there was evidence to the contrary of that there was this huge emphasis on safety. There was a safety training for several days. There's a safety manual talking about prohibiting actions that would end up serious bodily harm. So there's enough evidence in the record here to support the panel's finding that yes, he did have a substantial deviation from employment that meets that first factor under the horseplay test. And the second aspect of the horseplay test, which is the completeness of the deviation, was this individual's employment activities at the time that he was injured, so at the time that he was jumping off the roof, at that point in time when he decided to jump, was he engaged in any employment activity? And the record and the findings of fact states the answer, no. There's evidence in the record that he was just bored, and that's why he was patrolling the facility, and that's why he went to the roof, and there's an inference that that's why he jumped off the roof. There's no testimony that him jumping from one area, or finding a fact that him jumping from one area to the other, constitutes any employment activity that he was seeking to do at that point in time. So under the second part of the horseplay test, there's no commingling of the employment duties there. And when you go on to the third and fourth aspects of the horseplay test, there's evidence in the record and the findings of fact that that type of horseplay, namely jumping off roofs, was not accepted by the employer. It was not anticipated to be part of this individual's employment duties based on the nature of his job. In fact, it's to the contrary. They're supposed to be extremely safe. The time he jumped off the roof, he wasn't pursuing anybody. There's no evidence that he was practicing to pursue an intruder or an attacker. The record's devoid of that. So the panel, using the Schreiber versus Brown and Root case, decided there's just one possible inference here, and that is that the claimant substantially deviated from his employment duties and was engaged in non-compensable horseplay. Therefore, irrespective of the ALJ's conclusion, we have to find here that this was not a compensable claim. And I don't believe that statutorily the panel is required to remand this back down for additional findings, especially where there are no disputed findings of fact here. To the contrary, they are non-disputed.
So for purposes of this appeal, you're accepting, number one, all of the ALJ's factual findings, correct?
Correct. However, I would argue that the finding in the very bottom part of the order, I'm not sure which number it is, that states the claim was compensable. I argue that compensability is a question or a conclusion of law, and I do not accept a finding of compensability as a finding of fact. The findings of fact, as you know, as interpreted and applied to a legal standard, which is set out in the statute, compensability is a legal standard created by statute, and then interpreted via the courts for further interpretation and explanation as to how it plays out. That is a conclusion of law. So a finding of compensability, I disagree with counsel for claimant that constitutes a finding of fact solely because it's included in the findings of fact section. So I would dispute that particular finding. And the same with horseplay. A horseplay standard is a legal standard set forth in the Lori's Family Dining case. It's a legal standard that we have to apply a set of facts to determine whether somebody was engaged in non-compensable horseplay. And in this matter, respondents respectfully argue again that any finding of horseplay is not necessarily a finding of fact. It's an ultimate conclusion of law applying a set of facts to it. So I disagree with those two findings of fact.
Ms. McKenna, going back to the nexus on the evidence and whether jumping would at all be related to the course and scope, I was a little confused. There were some findings by the ALJ and the panel that access to the roof was acceptable for window washers and workers, but that seemed to be the east and west tower roofs. Was there also similar testimony about the cancer center roofs where he was injured?
I think the testimony was more general, that general access to roofs, the key was given to the patrol officers to allow them to assist any repairmen that needed to get up there to access the roof for repairs. So I think that was more of a general type of testimony. But regardless of that testimony, I feel if he was on the roof, if he was patrolling, if he had fallen off the roof, I think those factual situations where if he's fallen off the roof or he was looking over the edge of the roof to assess something down below and fell, those findings may result in a different conclusion by the panel here. But we don't have that record here. We have that he voluntarily, independently of his own judgment, jumped off the roof. And through the record as it stands, the only reasonable inference to draw is that he was not engaged in his employment duties at that time, because there's no reason he was supposed to be on the roof. Again, he wasn't pursuing anybody. He wasn't, you know, jumping off to assess a possible attack or how he would handle that situation. He wasn't out there attending to any given situation. He was merely bored. That's why he was patrolling. And I feel that based on the claimant's arguments here, again, they're still addressing the substantial evidence argument here, which is not the standard of review. But even if we were to look at this on the substantial evidence test, per the case law, and under 843.301H, that section does not prohibit the panel from making grossly mistaken orders or orders where there is evidence that is overwhelming to the contrary that supports a contrary conclusion. And under the Petty John Sullivan case, you need more than a mere scintilla of evidence here to constitute substantial evidence. And in this case, the claimant is looking for isolated bits of evidence to support a preconceived conclusion of compensability. And here there's overwhelming evidence to the contrary that this individual substantially deviated from his employment, was engaged in non-compensable horseplay, and therefore the claim is not compensable. If the court has no further questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Well, you don't get to reserve anything because you're the
appellate. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Are there any questions from the judges? Then, Your Honor, I'll close merely by pointing out that we're forced to deal with whether or not we're arguing about evidence or arguing about findings. We've established that we're not disputing any of the findings as they now stand from the ALJ. That's been conceded and that's been proffered here. And yet, we've been talking about a lot of the evidence. I think what we are seeing is that it is not a correct statement that there's only one plausible inference to be drawn from the record. The claimant would probably concede that there was a question as to the wisdom and what he was doing up there that day and why he was there. He provided testimony as to why he was there. That testimony was weighed, corroborated, or contested by opposing witnesses. That's the ALJ's job. That's the ALJ's privilege as the finder of fact to weigh that testimony, evaluate that testimony, and make the determination that he did. It was not an error of law to interpret the facts in a certain way. The error of law was in saying, I dislike the way that you applied the law. I see it differently, even though I wasn't there to evaluate the evidence the way you were, Your Judge. So we do ask that the order be vacated, and if necessary, or if this court finds it necessary that certain findings be made that he was doing his job description, that order be made with direction to so find. Thank you, Your Honor.
We appreciate the arguments of counsel. The case stands submitted. We will issue a written opinion in due course.